The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. This is our second lesson for today, this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Dear friends in Christ, tonight, hundreds of millions of people will watch the Super Bowl together. Some in their own home, some at someone else's home at a party. But how many of them will actually watch the Super Bowl on an old black and white tube TV? I'm sure there will be some, but not a large percentage, probably less than 1%. Why is that? Well, because the TVs of today are so much better, far superior than the old TV. Just think of an old black and white tube TV and some of the high-end TVs that are on the market today, like a smart TV with a curved 65-inch LED screen, a 4K high-resolution 3D. There really is no comparison. No one is going to argue that an old tube TV is better than the TVs today. And no one who has a choice is going to watch an old black and white TV over one of the new TVs today. Really, the old TVs have one thing for them. Most of the time, you might be able to find them for free or really cheap. The TV that I just described is on sale for over $2,000. It's clear that in every aspect, however, the new TVs are far superior. And today we also talk and focus on one who is far superior than anything else the world has to offer. Jesus is far superior. Jesus is the one who makes us holy. Jesus is the one who welcomes us into his house. Therefore, we fix our thoughts on him. The writer to the Hebrews spends a good portion of his letter detailing how Jesus is far superior than anything the Old Testament had to offer. In our section today, he's talking about how Jesus is far superior than Moses. And that was a big deal for those Jews to hear, because Moses was great. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, in all of the Old Testament. After all, he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament and Psalm 90. He is the one God chose to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. He sent through him that came the 10 plagues. He met and talked with God on Mount Sinai. God gave him the 10 commandments. He spoke to God face to face. Now Moses is mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament, far more than any other Old Testament figure. But as great as Moses was, he pales in comparison to Christ. And really, it's no comparison at all. Christ is like a new TV, and Moses like an old black and white TV. Later on in his letter, the writer to the Hebrews is going to explain how the new covenant is far superior to the old covenant. Now, the old covenant was given through Moses on Mount Sinai. It was a two-sided covenant, two-sided agreement. The agreement was simple. If you obey these commands that I give you, I will love you and bless you. But if you fail to obey these commandments, then I will punish you. And we all know the problem with that agreement. We can't keep up our side of the bargain. We can't obey God's law perfectly, so he won't bless us. No, we deserve to be punished. And then came Christ with the new covenant. It's a unilateral covenant, a one-sided agreement, and that is simple. through Christ's perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, through his resurrection, our sins have been removed. So the new covenant says our sins are forgiven through Christ. The new covenant then is far superior, the new covenant of Jesus is far superior to the old covenant brought along by Moses. And yet, it was a real temptation for those Jews to go back to the old covenant. To go back to follow the laws of Moses. To go back to what they did when they were younger. To avoid persecution and obey those laws of the Jews. It's also a real temptation for us. Now by nature, we believe that there must be something we can do to earn eternal life. That by saying certain things or doing certain things, by being nice to others, by giving to others, by saying certain prayers, just simply by being in worship each week, that God would be pleased with us, that God would see our good deeds, and based on our good deeds, He would give us eternal life. By nature, we all think that we must try and earn our salvation. And in doing so, we return back to that old covenant. We also have the temptation to return back to something else, to turn back to our previous way of life. Now, after tasting the grace of Christ, we desire to live a God-pleasing life. Out of love and thanks for Him, we want to obey His commandments. We don't want to live like the rest of the world. Well, that's what we often do. We often go back to the way we used to live as unbelievers. We often go back and follow our own sinful natures and desires. To think about ourselves, to fix our thoughts on our own happiness, on what we want at the expense of what God wants. We often want to go back and return to what is inferior. So the writer to the Hebrews then reminds us and reminds his readers exactly why Christ is superior to anything else the world has to offer, whether it's the laws of Moses or the ways of the world. He mentions a house. Now every house, every building has to be built by someone. No building can build itself. It's dependent on those who build it. Now you have architects, you have foremen, you have contractors, you have workers. They all have certain skills, they all have certain knowledge. And when they combine their skills and knowledge together, the end result is a house. But no matter how great and magnificent that house is, it's completely dependent on those who build it. So no house can be better or can be greater than the builders of that house. As God, Jesus is the builder. He is the builder of all things, for He created all things. As the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone. But God is the builder of everything. Through Jesus, the entire world was created. And from His throne, He rules over all things in His creation. And then there's Moses. Not the creator. No, he was a created being. Created by God, by Jesus. Now the writer to the Hebrews also calls Moses a servant of God, a faithful servant in the house of God. Now he was part of God's house, and he did admirably serving as a servant in that house. I mean, he spoke to God face to face. God says about him in Numbers 12, He is faithful in all my house. Moses certainly was great, and he was faithful. He did the work the Lord called him to do, not without his faults, of course, but great. But once again, he falls short of Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a servant in God's house. No, as the writer to the Hebrews explains, Christ is a faithful as a son over God's house. Moses was a servant. God is the son. Obviously, a son is greater than a servant. Moses was in God's house as a believer, as a created being. The eternal Son of God, uncreated, was over God's house, rules over God's house. And we are that house. Along with Moses, God has made us part of his house. As the writer to the Hebrews explains, we are his house through faith. We are made into living stones. Stones that make up the house of God, the church of God, with God, with Jesus as our cornerstone and as our head. Believers from the Old Testament and the New Testament alike come together to form God's house. Paul explains in Ephesians 2, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." So Christ makes us part of his church. Together we form the building of his house. And like the building, we're not superior than the one who built us, Jesus Christ. And what's so amazing about this is that we weren't part of God's house to be born with. We weren't born as children of God, but children of the devil, born as enemies of him. It was the Lord who had to make us part of his house, which he did as he brought us to faith through the waters of baptism, as he strengthened that faith through the gospel in word and in sacrament. He made us his children and made us into his house along with Moses. You remember what we said about both Moses and Jesus being faithful? Moses, of course, was faithful, but not without his sins. Jesus, however, was completely faithful. Faithful in what the Lord had called him to do, what the Lord sent him to do, to preach the word, to tell others about the way of salvation. Never did he choose himself over God's will. Never once did he fail to love his neighbor. Faithful in all he did. Where we fail, where Moses failed, Christ didn't fail. He was faithful even to the point of making himself under the law of those in authority over us. Faithful even to the point of giving up his life on the cross. And so, he is able to take that faithful life, that perfect obedience, and give that life to us. And he took our sins upon himself on the cross, and then gave us his perfect and holy life. We were unfaithful. But now we have Christ and his faithful life, which has been given to us. And that is why the writer to the Hebrews can address his hearers as he did. Did you catch it right away in the first verse? He addresses them as holy brothers. That is what each and every one of us are. Holy. holy means to be without sin, to be perfect, to be righteous. And yet we sin numerous times a day, too numerous to count. And yet we are considered holy in the eyes of God, because when God looks at us, He doesn't see us as sinners. He sees the faithful life of His Son, Jesus. And so we can rightfully be called holy. And if we're holy, that means we're saints, because that what is a saint is. A saint is a holy one. We're holy. We're saints. Not because of who we are, not because of what we have done, but because of Christ. And so we are declared not guilty. And that's what God does. He declares us not guilty, not because we're innocent of any wrong, but not guilty because of the perfect life and obedience of Christ that is now given to us. For He paid the price that we ought to pay. We're holy. We're justified. We're righteous. We're saints. Not because of the law of Moses. The law of Moses can't make us holy. The law of Moses can't remove our sins. It shows us our sin. It shows us our condemnation. No, we're righteous and holy through Christ. So what do? We fix our thoughts on Him. We are concerned about Him and His Word. We focus on Him and His Word before anything else in our lives. And we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. We hold on to that courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and the world. We hold on to that courage to defend His Word and to share His Word against all accusations and to all people. Because we have that hope of which we boast. The sure hope that our sins have been removed. The sure hope that we have eternal life in heaven forever. So we are boast. We are able to boast. Not on something that is inferior like ourselves, but on that which is superior to all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No one in their right mind is going to make a case that an old black and white TV is superior to the TVs of today. And no one is going to watch that old TV if they had an opportunity to watch a new one. The new is far superior. No comparison. The same way then, let us fix our eyes, let us fix our thoughts on Jesus, who is far superior, who the one who calls us to faith, the one who makes us holy, the one who gives us eternal life in heaven forever. Because it is Jesus alone who is able to save us. Not ourselves, not Moses. So we fix our thoughts on what is superior. We fix our thoughts on Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.